गिरिवरधारे गोपीजनवल्लभा गिरिवरधारे यशोदनंदन भज जनरंजना यशोदनंदन व्रज जनरंजना जमुना तीरा बनचारी जमुना तीरा बनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी यशोदनंदन व्रज जनरंजना यशोदनंदन व्रज जनरंजना जमुना तीरा बनचारी जमुना तीरा बनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी 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 जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। जय रूप सनातन भट्ट रघुनाथ श्री जीव गोपाल भट्ट दास रघुनाथ चट गोस्वामी प्रभुगण की जय। श्री ब्रह्म मध्व गौड़ीय गुरु शिष्य परंपराचार्य वृंद की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री वासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड श्री गिरिराज गोवर्धन की जय। ब्रजभूमि श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। द्वारका मथुरापुरी धाम की जय। पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। श्री श्री जगन्नाथ बलभद्र सुभद्रा महारानी की जय। मायापुर नवद्वीप धाम की जय। गंगा मैया की जय। जमुना मैया की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। कृष्ण भक्ति प्रदायिनी श्रीमती तुलसी महारानी की जय। कलियुग पावन श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय। श्री श्री गौर निताय की जय। श्री श्री जगन्नाथ बलभद्र सुभद्रा महारानी की जय। श्री श्री राधा लंडनेश्वर भगवान की जय। श्री गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवत महापुराण की जय। समवेत गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंग। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading this morning from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 24, entitled Worshipping Govardhan Hill, verse number 21 and 22. Krishi, Vanija, Go, Raksha, Kusidam, Turyam, Chate, Varta, Chaturvidha, Tatra, Vayam, गोवृत्तयो अनीशम सत्वम रजस तमा इति स्थिति उत्पत्ति अंतहेतवः रजसा उत्पद्यते विश्वम अन्योन्यम विविधम जगत। कृषि वाणिज्य गोरक्षा कुसीदं तूर्यमुच्यते वार्ता चतुर्विधा तत्र वयं गोवृत्तयोनिशं सत्वं रजस्तमैति स्थित्युत्पत्यन्यहेतवः रजसोत्पद्यते विश्वम् अन्योन्यं विविधं जगत्। कृषि वाणिज्य गोरक्षा कुसीदं तूर्यमुच्यते वार्ता चतुर्विधा तत्र वयं गोवृत्तयोनिशं सत्वं रजस्तमैति स्थित्युत्पत्यन्तहेतवः रजसोत्पद्यते विश्वम् अन्योन्यं विविधं जगत्। कृषि वाणिज्य गोरक्षा कुसीदं तूर्यमुच्यते वार्ता चतुर्विधा तत्र वयं गोवृत्तयोनिशं सत्वं रजस्तमैति स्थित्युत्पत्यन्तहेतवः रजसोत्पद्यते विश्वम् अन्योन्यं विविधं जगत्। कृषि वाणिज्य गोरक्षा कुसीदं तूर्यमुच्यते वार्ता चतुर्विधा तत्र वयंगो वृत्तयो निशम सत्वं रजस्तमैति स्थित्युत्पत्यन्तहेतवः रजस्योत्पद्यते विश्वं अन्यन्यं विविधं जगत् कृषिवाणिज्यगोरक्षा कुसीदं तुर्यमुच्यते वार्ता चतुर्विधा तत्र वयं गो वृत्तयो निशाम सत्वं रजस्तमैति स्थित्युत्पत्यन्त्यहेतवः रजस्योत्पद्यते विश्वम् लेडीज सत्वं रजस्तमैति स्थित्युत्पत्यन्तहेतवः रजस्वोत्पद्यते विश्वम् अन्यन्यं विविधं जगत् कृषि फार्मिंग वाणिज्य कॉमर्स गोरक्षा एंड प्रोटेक्टिंग काउज कुसीदम बैंकिंग तूर्यम द फोर्थ उच्यते इज सेड वार्ता द ऑक्युपेशनल ड्यूटी चतुर्विधा फोरफोल्ड तत्र अमंग दीज वयम वी गोवृत्तयः एंगेज इन प्रोटेक्टिंग द काउज अनीशम विदाउट सेजेशन सत्वम गुडनेस रजः पैशन तमः एंड इग्नोरेंस इति दस स्थिति ऑफ मेंटेनेंस उत्पत्ति क्रिएशन अंत एंड डिस्ट्रक्शन हे तवः द कॉजेस रजसा बाय द मोड ऑफ पैशन उत्पद्यते इज जनरेटेड विश्वम दिस यूनिवर्स अन्योन्यम बाय कॉम्बिनेशन ऑफ मेल एंड फीमेल विविधम बिकम्स वैरिएगेटेड जगत द वर्ल्ड Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: The occupational duties of the Vaishya are conceived in four divisions: farming, commerce, cow protection, and money lending. Out of these, we as a community are always engaged in cow protection. The causes of creation, maintenance, and destruction are the three modes of nature, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance. In particular, the mode of passion creates this universe and through sexual combination causes it to become full of variety. Purport. Anticipating the possible objection that a livelihood based on cows certainly depends on Lord Indra who supplies rain, Lord Krishna here introduces a mechanistic theory of existence known as atheistic Sankhya. The tendency to attribute exclusive causality to the apparently mechanistic functions of nature is an old tendency indeed. 5,000 years ago, Lord Krishna referred to a doctrine already well known in human society. Om Agyanti Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha मुकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपा तमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारणं श्रीचैतन्यईश्वरं परमानंदमाधवं नमाओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी निति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। सर्वशास्त्राब्धिपीयूष सर्ववेदैकसत्फल सर्वसिद्धान्तरत्नाढ्य सर्वलोकैकदृक्प्रद सर्वभागवत प्राण श्रीमद्भागवतं प्रभो कलिध्वान्तोदितादित्य श्रीकृष्ण परिवर्तिता। हरे कृष्ण। सो वी आर गोइंग बैक टू द लास्ट टू वर्सेस। यस्टरडे द वर्स नंबर 24-23 वाज रिटन एंड वी आर गोइंग बैक टू द प्रीवियस टू वर्सेस एंड द थीम that is being described in these verses is the same, where Lord Krishna is preaching this Karma Mimamsa philosophy to Nanda Maharaj and the residents of Vrindavan. And like we were talking yesterday, Lord Krishna is apparently speaking an atheistic philosophy. God is speaking an atheistic philosophy in order to propagate the highest theism of loving Him. And we were talking about Hiranyakashipu yesterday. He's speaking the highest of all theistic philosophies, but simply to propagate atheism. And yesterday we were talking about the principle of judgmentalism. How if one looks at the words of Krishna straight at face value, one would judge Krishna by saying that Krishna is an atheist. And if one simply looks at the words of Hiranyakashipu at face value, one would judge Hiranyakashipu to be a theist. And therefore, yesterday we were talking about how it's very crucial and important not to look at the cover of the book, but to look at the content of the book. The motivation, the intention is more important than just the externals. And the tendency of the world is always to go by external behavior and apparent qualities that a person may exhibit. So, since the theme is similar, I would continue with this further. Judgmentalism is very deeply rooted in this disease called fault finding. There is a tendency always to look into the faults of others, not go by what the motive is, not go by what the intent is, but simply based on external words, external mannerisms, external behavior, to pick up some faults and to dwell on those faults within the mind. So this morning I thought it would be worthwhile to see if we could discuss a couple of thoughts on how to try and avoid fault-finding mentality. Because there's a difference between papa and aparad. There's a difference between sin and offense. And the difference between the two is a sin which is only on the mental level. For example, if a man is contemplating on doing something wrong in the mind, according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, that sin, so long as it's on the mental platform, is forgiven and pardoned. Till the time it doesn't come in words or action, that sin is not accounted, because a devotee is not involved. In a mental thought of sin, a devotee is not involved. When it comes to offense, however, when we are thinking something wrong about another devotee, about the Lord, about the holy name, Krishna and his devotees are involved. And every mental offense gets a reaction. Whereas a mental sin, there is no reaction. If I think something wrong on my own to do something wrong, there's no reaction to it till it comes in action. But when one commits a mental offense to another devotee, looking at some fault in another devotee, that saps away the enthusiasm to practice Krishna consciousness. One of the biggest reactions. Saps away the enthusiasm to practice Krishna consciousness, takes away the inspiration to serve, and eventually it even manifests in one's external behavior. And then there is a fall. Therefore, it is very, very crucial and important to learn
how to avoid mental offenses. Automatically all the verbal offenses are gone. Of course, that's a whole different topic. There are 8 steps to cope with mental offenses. 8 steps in coping with mental offenses. I'm just looking at one today. Fault finding. And therefore, it is very crucial to avoid offense on the mental platform. It is said that if one commits offense, then one is off the fence of protection. And therefore, ISKCON is a very interesting word. In the word ISKCON, there is IS and there is ON, and in the middle is KC, Krishna consciousness. Is Krishna consciousness on? If Krishna consciousness is off, then there is offense. If Krishna consciousness is on, then there is very less scope for offense. And therefore, I thought this morning we can talk a little bit about how to deal with this fault-finding mentality. And I made this into an acronym called FAULT. So at the end of the whole talk, Jai Shishir Adalandini Shri Ki, Jai Jagannath Balbhadra Subhadra Vani Ki, Jai Gaur Nitai Ki, Jai Kiri Govardhan Ki, Jai. At the end of the whole talk, if you remember the word fault, then we know what are the steps to be taken to avoid fault finding. And the first step, which is the F in the fault, stands for focusing on the good in others. His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj always quotes Srila Prabhupada by telling how Srila Prabhupada explained that there were 5 levels of people. The first level is a person who only sees bad in others. He just cannot see the good. You know, sometimes even amongst devotees, no matter how much that devotee does, you know, nice service and good, but just can't see the good because we don't like that person. When someone loves a person, then even the apparent faults are neglected. And when someone does not like a person, then all the good is neglected and only the bad is seen. So Srila Prabhupada said, level 1 is a person who simply looks at the bad, and when he finds the slightest bad, he magnifies and blows it up. The classic example of this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita is Ramchandra Puri. He was feeding all the devotees fantastic prasadam with the only intent of looking at a fault and criticizing them. In fact, it extended to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and when he came to the room of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there was a row of ants. And he started shouting, he's a sannyasi, how can he be a sannyasi? He's eating too many sweets, that is why all these ants are around. And therefore, level 1 is looking only for the bad and magnifying it. Level 2, Prabhupada said, is good and bad both are seen, but one consciously chooses to neglect the good and focus only on the bad. In the first case, good is not seen at all. In the second case, good is seen, but is neglected. And conscious focus is on the bad, the fault in a person. There was one man standing in a shopping mall, and a dog arrived there. And the dog was pushing a shopping cart, going to different places in the shopping mall. With the mouth, the dog was picking up Walker's baked potato chips and putting it inside the shopping cart. Taking all different things from the shopping mall, putting it in the shopping cart. And then came to the owner, the cash counter. The dog had a bag in the neck, pulled out with its teeth a few currency notes, pounds, and put it in front of the cashier. One man was looking at the whole spectacle. He was absolutely amazed. Wow! What a dog! You know? And then this man, when it came time to tender some change back, he gave £5 less. And the dog detected it. The dog started pulling the trouser of the cashier and barking for the £5. Got the £5 back, put it in the bag, went to the bus stop. And this man who was watching the spectacle said, wow, what a dog. He followed the dog to come to the bus stop. The dog waited for many buses to pass by, and just as the right bus arrived, boarded the bus, tendered the right change, got a ticket, got down at the next bus stop, and walked towards the house that he came from. This man was following the dog. The door was locked. This dog went to the window and, using its paws, started indicating to the master inside the house to get entry inside, barking, pawing. After a while, the master opened the door. The dog came, and just as about it was about to enter in the house, the master took a stick and bit the dog black and blue, you know. So this man, who was watching the whole thing, was stunned. He came to this master and said, "Sir, do you have any clue? What an incredible dog you have. I mean, he went to the supermarket, the shopping mall, purchased every little thing on his own, paid the cash, barked for the change, got the change, boarded the right bus, got down at the right stop, has brought all the stuff that he wanted. He did the shopping for you, and you're beating it back black and blue. Why?" The master said, "This is the fourth time in the last 2 weeks that the dog has forgotten the key to the door." The master was expecting that the dog should also carry the key, open the door, and come in. Isn't that the story of life many times? Where so many good things have been done, but the focus is only on what? The good has all been neglected, and the focus is that the dog forgot the key to the door. And therefore Prabhupada said this, level 2 of a person is one who sees good and bad, but neglects the good consciously and focuses on the bad. Srila Prabhupada said, the third level of a person is he who sees both good and bad, but gives equal weightage to both. I think amongst devotees we struggle with that. You know, we may see some negative dark side to some devotee's personality, and then we say, no, it'll be offense. So we try to see the good, and then we say, oh, but this is also there. And then, you know, then we are struggling as we are trying to look at the good side, we see the darker side. It's a big conflict between. Try to give equal weightage to good and bad. Srila Prabhupada said, the fourth person is he who sees good and bad, consciously chooses to neglect the bad and focus on the good side. There is a conscious effort to keep the bad away and focus primarily on the good within a person. And that is the nature of the Lord. Beautiful, Jagannath. If you go to South India, there is a temple of Lord Ranganath. Lord Ranganath lies down on Sheshanag. Beautiful, huge deity. And his eyes are closed. And you go to Odisha, we have Jagannath. And his eyes are not just open. His eyes are open, huge open, wide open, round, big. Ranganath in South India means, when a devotee goes there, Ranganath shuts his eyes, closes his eyes. I do not want to see the bad in this devotee. And when one comes in front of Jagannath, he keeps his eyes wide open. I want to see even the slightest good that this devotee has done for me. And therefore Ranganath represents closed eyes, consciously choosing not to see the bad. And Lord Jagannath represents open eyes, consciously choosing to focus on the good in a devotee. Right. And then the fifth stage, Srila Prabhupada said, the fifth person is a person who does not see bad at all. He cannot see bad at all. He'll see the slightest good and magnify it. So these are the five levels. His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj was saying that these are the five levels Srila Prabhupada explained. See only bad and magnify it. See good and bad. Neglect the good and focus on the bad. See good and bad. Equal weightage to good. See good and bad. Choose to focus on the good and neglect the bad. And see the good and magnify it. The last stage, fifth stage, Only Krishna can do it. Only God can do it. Anyone here? So he's only good in others. No one. Only Krishna and Guru can do that. See only good in others and magnify that good. Prabhupada said all of us have to come to level 4 where we consciously choose to neglect the darker side and consciously put an effort to focus on the good. Therefore, one prayer that a devotee regularly makes to Srila Prabhupada and the deities is, "My dear Lord, there's no choice for me. When I open my eyes, I am going to see the faults in others. There is no choice. I live with people. He is a human being, she is a human being, I am a human being. And there will be faults in every human being. Please bless that I can consciously neglect the bad and focus on the good." Therefore, F in the fault stands for focusing on the good by neglecting the bad. Second is A. A in the fault stands for awareness. Being aware of what are the effects of finding faults in others. And one of the effects in meditating on others' faults is we give shelter to those faults in us. When we try to always constantly look at the faults in others, those faults come in our personality as well. Association is not simply physical association. When there is physical association, definitely that association affects us. You know, like I was saying, if I spend too much time in England and I go back to India, suddenly my accent changes. I'm not even conscious about it. You know, when I go back, sometimes I say, when you associate with a lot of British Indians here in England, their accent kind of gets affected by that. Sometimes when I go back, I say, "Can you get me a glass of water? Water? My water?" In India, unless you say water, that doesn't come. Doesn't make much sense. "Can you get me a glass of water? My God. I was walking there. Walking. I was kind of..." Sometimes some of the devotees remind me, "Prabhuji, you come back to Bombay. Forget England." Association is contagious. It's very contagious. Even on a physical platform, it affects us. You know, an association also affects us on the mental platform. If we associate with a fault of another in the mind, that fault affects us in a way that we get that fault. You know, I'll tell you a personal story. Sorry about speaking a personal story, but it's such a conviction for me because I've gone through it. You know, in Bombay, once a family who lives about 15 minutes drive from our temple there invited brahmacharis for lunch. And we thought we'll go for lunch. Of course, sometimes lunch programs can be very intense. Very, very intense. Sometimes they make 35 preparations for lunch. And the host expects that you have to eat every item. And to the proportion that they want you to eat. Lunch programs can be very intense sometimes. We went for this lunch program. The lunch was at 2 o'clock. I had a meeting at 4 o'clock in the temple. It was 15 minutes drive, so I thought I'll come back and attend the meeting, no problem. We went for the program. We reached sharp at 2, just in time to eat. And the temple president, who is such a senior devotee, hadn't arrived yet. So we thought, out of respect and etiquette, we can't eat, you know, before he arrives. So we waited, and we waited, and we waited. And he arrived only 1 hour late. Of course, we were okay with the appetite and hunger and all that. No problem. That was all right. 3 o'clock, the meal began. All of us had a good time. South Indian prasadam, dosas, idlis, you know, all kinds of nice preparations. We had a good time eating. 3:30, the prasadam was over. And then the temple president decided to talk with the family in private. So they had some issues to discuss. And it was 4 o'clock. I was supposed to be back in the temple for the meeting. And I was thinking, "My God, this is too much. I can't leave now. It won't be proper to go without asking him. He's a senior man." So I waited. It was 4:30. Still the temple president was talking to this family. I said, I still can't leave, it won't be right, he'll be upset. So I thought I won't go. And in the middle of all of this, the son and the family comes and says, would you like to watch a movie? I said, Prabhu, now I'm wearing this, I stopped watching movies a long time back. I said, no, ISKCON movie. All right, no problem, put it on. We watched something, it was 5 o'clock. I was frustrated. Important meeting to attend. Gone. Finally at 5 o'clock, the discussion was over. We all sat in the car. And the son in the family, the host's son, he was driving us back to the temple. 15 minutes drive. And as we were being driven, usually we go for prasadam invitations, we take the temple car. And our temple driver doesn't know English. The reason we have chosen a driver who doesn't know English is because all of us can discuss management in the car. Temple management can maintain confidentiality. So the driver has been chosen, tailor-made for us. He doesn't know English. And because we usually travel by the temple car, I thought he was driving, just in my mind. Sitting right next to the son of the family, the host's son, I said, my whole day was a sheer waste coming for this lunch program. Can you believe this? This man is sitting right next to me, and the temple president along with two others in the back seat. And I said, this, my whole day was a sheer waste of time today going for this lunch. And about 20 seconds I realized what I did. My God. Look at this, you know, what have I done? What have I done? You know? I was very disturbed. How many of you would be disturbed if you would say something like this? I was absolutely disturbed, agitated in my mind. Came back to the temple and went straight in front of the deities, Radha Gopinath. Closed my eyes and offered an intense prayer. Why? I didn't mean it. It was just frustration that I lost the meeting. I definitely didn't mean it. I didn't feel I wasted it. It just came out. Why? Please, reveal why. This intense prayers, eyes tightly closed, you know. And when I opened my eyes, the answer to my question was standing between me and the deities. It was a person, a brahmachari. 6 months before this incident, I had started seeing a fault in this brahmachari. You know, this brahmachari on two occasions had said something in public. I felt this guy just doesn't have the sensitivity. What to say, where to say, when to say, how to say, isn't it? I was thinking it takes 1 year to learn how to speak, but a lifetime to learn where to speak, what to speak, and when to speak. You know, I was thinking, what an insensitive fellow, you know, doesn't have control over his tongue on two occasions. And then every single time I saw this brahmachari, 6 full months, the only thought that would come in my mind is insensitivity in speaking. 6 months dwelling on that fault. It's not just physical association. We associate with a person physically that rubs on us. We get those qualities. But we associate with someone's fault mentally. We give shelter to that fault within our personalities. I didn't realize. Krishna was kind, very kind, to bring that person at the right time. To make me understand this very cardinal principle that associating with others' faults, even within, is very dangerous, because we develop those negative qualities within us. Then I realized I had spoken so insensitively. Krishna was giving a very powerful signal. I came back to the temple, glad that Krishna had reminded me of a very, very crucial thing. And I asked the telephone operator, did the meeting happen? And he said, no, the meeting didn't happen. I said, look at that. I came all the way, said all this because I was frustrated and the meeting didn't happen. So just to patch it up, I finally decided I'll call that guy, the son who was driving, and apologize. I called him up. I said, Prabhu, I'm extremely sorry for what I said. So you don't have to be sorry. I said, no, I'm very sorry for what I said. He said, what did you say? It's okay, you didn't say anything. I said, come on, how can you don't be so modest and humble. You know, didn't I say that I wasted my day? It was a sheer waste of time going to your house for lunch. He said, I had earphones, I was listening to Ayendra Prabhu's Kirtan. I said, goodness, look at that. He didn't hear it. Because I didn't take note, he was listening to Kirtan, he didn't hear it. I said, my God, this is too much. Krishna humbled me like anything that day, I'll tell you. And that boy is now a brahmachari in our temple. His name is Radhesh Lal Prabhu. You know, he's a brahmachari. If you have any doubts in this story, please ask him. I'm not at all making up a story to just give a story for the point I'm making. You know, A in the fault stands for awareness of the effects of meditating on others' faults. And one of the most powerful effects is we get that fault in us. Thirdly, U in the fault stands for uplifting others. There's no point just dwelling on others' faults. Dwelling on others' fault does no good to us and does no good to the person whom we find the fault in. And most often, if not always, when we look at others' faults, they're simply perceived faults. They're not even realities. We look at it as a fault. Whether it is a fault or it is not a fault is a big question mark. There was a couple and they would take breakfast daily together. So both were sitting together, taking breakfast. And the man was telling his wife, look at our neighbors, sloppy neighbors, lousy guys. Look at the sheets, so dirty, so tanned and so soiled. Don't they just clean their sheets and their clothes properly? Can't they do it? Every single day this man would say this to his wife at breakfast, looking through the window. One day, suddenly he remarked, Wow, look at this. Finally some good sense has dawned to our neighbors. Such immaculately clean sheets today, white, pristine white, wow. The lady said, my dear husband, I cleaned the windows today. Because I cleaned the windows today, now you are seeing the sheets clean. Every day you were complaining about their sheets, there was no problem with the sheets. The windows were dirty. And you know, Krishna has given us these two windows. The problem is, these windows are too dirty. The vision that we see with, look at people with, is soiled. And when we see through a stained window, we see stains even on others. When we see with a clean window, we see things for what they are. And the problem is, most all of us, being practitioner devotees, don't have very clean windows yet. And therefore many times we see others through stained vision, through soiled vision. Therefore, before coming to a conclusion, we have to question ourselves whether what I'm seeing in another person is simply a perception, what I'm seeing through my soiled vision, or is it a reality? If it is a perception, we have to neglect it, you know. Therefore, a sincere devotee goes by his conscience, does not want to look at those faults, questions himself. Is it true? Is it not true? Is it right? Is it not right? My God. Socrates sitting in Athens, Greece, a man comes to him and tells him, I have to tell you something about your friend. And Socrates says, well, you can tell me if you pass this triple filter test. Really? What is a triple filter test? What are you going to tell me about my friend? Is it true or is it false? The guy said, well, I'm not sure. He said, okay, then you failed the first test. If it is true, speak. If it is false, don't even bother to speak. But nevertheless, we'll give you benefit of doubt. Let's see if you pass the second filter. What is the second filter? Said, whatever you have said about my friend, is it good or is it bad? Said, well, it is bad. Something critical about him. Said, something critical? Then don't even speak. Let's see if you pass the third test. What's your third filter? He said, whatever you're going to tell me about my friend, is it beneficial for me and him or no? He said, no. He said, then get out. Don't speak. Don't speak anything about another person and download your image about that person on me. How many times our minds are affected because someone comes and downloads his image of X Prabhu on my mind and I make my image of that Prabhu the same as his, simply because I heard from him. You know, let us first question whether it's a perception or is it a reality. And these three questions are very important. Is it true or false? Is it good or bad? Is it beneficial or is it harmful? If the answer is it is true, it is good in the other person and it's beneficial, I want to hear it. If it is false, it's the bad of another person and it's not beneficial, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to paint in my mind a wrong image for any devotee, you know. And the for you in the fault stands for uplifting others. There's no point only dwelling on the fault. Even if the fault is a reality, we have to learn how to help that person come out of it and uplift that person. Dwelling on the fault does no good to me, does no good to him or her. If the fault is truly there, mistake is truly there, and if I am the right person to correct it, I must do it. Help that person. And how do I know I can give a corrective feedback? We should ask these four questions to ourselves. Firstly, am I the right person to correct and uplift? Who is the right person? A guru, an authority, a husband, a wife, a relative, a parent. You know, some stranger on the street corrects a kid. He can't. It's not his kid. You know, am I the right person? If I am the right person, then the second question is, do I have the right motive? Do I have the right motive in truly uplifting that person from his mistake, his fault, correcting him and truly serving him? Is that my motive? Or along with that correction is settling some old accounts. He had said something to me, she had said something to me, now there's a good opportunity to, you know, bring it all out. Third question, do I know the right way? How to present the corrective feedback? Even if there is a fault, even if there is a mistake, how is it presented, you know? And fourth, is it the right time? Because when a person does some service, 4 hours spent in flower decoration in the temple, there's tremendous attachment to it. And even if there's some flaw, if immediately that correction is given, it's like a thunderbolt on the heart. One has to wait. Wait for a day or two before that corrective feedback is given. And therefore you in the fault stands for uplifting. Uplifting others by correcting and rectifying that fault. Not just dwelling, oh, he has that, he has that, he has that. We have to do something about it if it's true. L in the fault stands for leave things to Krishna at least sometimes. We are supposed to leave things to him all the times. But we have to leave things to Krishna at least sometimes. What I mean by this is, many times things in life are beyond our control. And the classic example of living by this principle is Balramji, Lord Balram. You know, Lord Balram is on the battlefield of Kurukshetra and Lord Krishna is telling Bhima, hit that guy Duryodhan below the waist. Balram saying to Krishna, this is against the proper protocols of Kshatriya behavior and Kshatriya fighting. Lord Krishna says, alright, you keep quiet. You know,
Just hang on. I know what I'm doing, okay? And Lord Balaram, such an amazing personality. He realizes there's only one controller in the entire creation, Krishna. He is an expansion of Krishna, and the direct first expansion of Krishna thinks there is only one controller in the whole universe, and that is Lord Krishna. And Balaram leaves. Balaram leaves the battlefield to travel all over, go to all the holy places of pilgrimage. He comes to he goes to all places except one, Jagannath Puri. Goes to all holy places. His Holiness Hridayanand Maharaj writes this in the purport. He goes to all holy places except Jagannath Puri, because in Jagannath Puri he is worshipped. And he thinks there's only one controller and only one enjoyer, Krishna. He leaves the battlefield to prove Krishna is the controller. And he doesn't go to Jagannath Puri to prove Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. I don't want to see myself being worshipped and enjoy myself being worshipped. Therefore, sometimes understanding that Krishna is in control, we have to leave a lot of things which are beyond our scope to deal with to Krishna. Many times after trying to help others, uplift others, correct others, and things just don't change, we have to leave it to Krishna in His promised time to change things. And finally, the T in the fault stands for tolerating. After doing everything, when we live together in a community, human beings, there'll be some faults, some shortcomings, some weaknesses, some idiosyncrasies. It'll always be there. You know, one has to tolerate. And beyond tolerance, appreciate the good in others. You know, tolerance is, oh, he speaks like this, and therefore I can't stand him. But I can't take him, I can't tolerate him. But that other person is also tolerating some of my faults. If I'm tolerating the other person, then he is also tolerating me. And like that, with a mutual understanding, when we live together, we're able to overlook the small things in the personalities of devotees and meditate on the good in others. More than just tolerating, we go a step further to look at the good and to appreciate and express that good. I'll conclude with a short story. There was once a little child standing in a zoo, and there were all these little kids standing in a queue to get their faces painted. You know, paint these faces. And this guy had freckles on his face, full of freckles. And a tiny girl standing in front said, "Why do you need to get your face painted, you know, like a tiger? You already look like a tiger with all the spots and freckles." The child started crying, bitterly weeping. His grandmother was standing there. The grandmother came to the child, held the child's head in her face in her hands, looked at him and said, "Son, do you know something? The best thing that God has made in this world, the most beautiful, freckles." You know what the child said back to the grandmother? The child said, "You know what, Grandma? There's something more beautiful. Something more beautiful than freckles. Wrinkles." You know? If I am willing to stand someone's freckles, then that person is willing to stand my wrinkles. You know? Someone has freckles and someone else has wrinkles. One has to learn how to tolerate and go beyond tolerance to express appreciation for what others have. And therefore, this acronym FALT stands for F, focusing on the good while consciously choosing to neglect the bad. A, being aware of the effect that if I associate with the faults of others, I give shelter to those faults within me. U, standing for uplifting others, not simply dwelling on the faults, but trying to correct, check if I am the right person, if I have the right motive, if it's the right timing, and if I know the right way to help that person deal with that fault. L stands for leaving things to Krishna. Many times after doing a lot of things, we're not always in control to change things. Krishna's in control. And T stands for tolerating. Small things here and there, freckles and wrinkles are all over. Everyone has their side to their personality. And if we can take it, we will get rid of this one. First step in coping with mental offenses out of the eight. There are eight steps to coping with mental offenses. The first is trying to avoid finding faults. And therefore here we find, even in the Govardhan Leela, if one is not careful to see what the intent is behind speaking what Krishna is speaking, one might take it as a fault as to how God is speaking an atheistic doctrine of Karma Mimamsa philosophy. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. I think it's 5 past. Sorry, I'll take your question personally. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanande.
Thank you, Gaur Gopal Prabhu, for a very